One of our parables for this morning, the parable of the great fishing net, teaches us a very crucial lesson about the church. The church is made up of both good fish and bad fish. The net symbolizes the church. The fish are the members of the church, you and me. The water symbolizes the world throughout human history since the birth of the church, in which the church exists and with which the church interacts. And at the end of history, Jesus tells us there will be a judgment. Jesus will come again to judge the living and the dead as we profess week by week in the Nicene Creed. And at this judgment, some of the fish in the net will be saved, but others will be thrown back. And then he elaborates, into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Now, initially, both kinds of fish, the righteous and the wicked, were inside the net, inside the church. In other words, it's not enough just to be an official member of the church, just to be able to say, well, we're Catholic, or I'm a Catholic Christian. Just to go through the motions of being Catholic on the outside. Yes, we need to do that so that we find ourselves inside the net. And so this morning, the rite of baptism brings another one into the church, into the net. The opportunity for a couple of folks to receive their first communion within our church, drawing them more deeply into the mystery of Christ and into the mystery of His holy church. We need to find ourselves inside the net, but we also need to let God's grace penetrate our minds, change our lives, so that we follow in Christ's footsteps all week long and not just on Sunday morning. Listen carefully this morning as we baptize this child, because that's what we're praying for. We're praying that this child's soul and spirit, its heart, this life-giving spirit of God will come into her and change her for the best all the days of her life. But that calling is not just on Sunday morning. It is every day of the week. Like the farmer and the merchant in the other parables, sometimes we have to sell everything in order to take full possession of the treasure and the pearl. We have to actively fight against our selfish and sinful habits in order to enter fully into friendship with Jesus Christ. The true and only treasure that will fill us with eternal and everlasting joy. Now, it is possible to work in the field without possessing the treasure. And that's exactly what Christ wants us to avoid. In other words, today Jesus is encouraging us to be like Solomon the Wise, whom we heard about in the first reading for today. Now Solomon was the privileged son of King David. It was under Solomon's rule that ancient Israel reached its pinnacle of prosperity, its influence, its geographical size, and the temple in Jerusalem was built. At the very beginning of Solomon's reign, God came to Solomon in a dream, confirming that Solomon was indeed the new king. King Solomon, aware that God had given him an important and difficult mission as a very young man, asked but for one thing. He asked for the grace of wisdom, which would help him fulfill the mission that God had given him. This was what made Solomon righteous. Not that he was perfect in every way, but that loving God and neighbor, by fulfilling his duties, was Solomon's first priority. God showed his pleasure at that request by granting it, making Solomon, we are told, into the wisest of all rulers. You know, God does the same thing with us each and every day. We too have a mission in life. Each one of us is called to show forth God's goodness by the way we fulfill our duties and put our God-given talents to work. And each day, God makes his presence known to us in our hearts and in our fully informed consciences. God constantly renews a great gift to us, the gift of our freedom. Every day, we remain free to pursue things that are passing away and are superficial, like the things Solomon didn't ask for: long life, riches, revenge on his enemies. Or we can choose to desire and pursue the one thing that really lasts, truly lasts, the treasure, the pearl of great price. Following Christ, friendship with Christ, living life as Christ would have us live. We have a choice. God gives us that freedom to live with him or to chase the empty things of this world. The passing and superficial things, pleasure, power, popularity, treasure, in the end, don't satisfy the human heart. I'm not going to name names, but I want you to think about the news and the people who are in the news outside of COVID. I'm not going to name names, but if you watch the news, you know the people who are front and center in the news for what they have allegedly done. They thought pleasure, power, popularity, control, riches would satisfy them, but it didn't. the only thing that can satisfy us is friendship with Jesus Christ. St. Augustine once said, "Lord, you made me. You made the human heart. And the only way that it will find rest is to find it in you." Friendship with Christ makes us whole. The parable of the great fishing net gives us a good reason to check up on ourselves, to make sure that we are not just going through the motions of being a Catholic Christian. God will only welcome onto the shores of everlasting life those of us who truly desire to be there and who show that desire by really trying to follow Jesus Christ, who persevere to the end. These are the ones who shall be saved. But the parable has another implication as well. It reminds us that the people around us need our help too. Just because our friends and family members appear to have a good relationship with God, well, it doesn't mean that they don't need the help of our prayers, our words, and our good example. Judging only by appearances, all the fish in the net were safe and sound. But in the end, it turned out that appearances were not the whole truth. None of us are immune to temptation. The Bible tells us that the devil, Satan, the evil one, is constantly prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. It comes from the first letter of Peter in the 5th chapter. The devil is like a roaring lion looking for someone to prey upon. P-R-E-Y, not P-R-A-Y. The fish right next to us in the pew this morning, in the living room, in the dining room, wherever you are watching this on Facebook, may be going through a very difficult time right now, a time of terrible temptation and spiritual battle, whether we see it or not. I can't tell you the number of people who have shared on Facebook. They have come pretty close now to the end of their rope. Everything that is going on feels like it just piles deeper and deeper and deeper. Sort of like being at the bottom of a rugby match where one guy has the ball and everybody else piles on top of them. All of us are going through some very difficult times, and they may lead to terrible temptation, and that may lead to spiritual battle. And so we should never stop praying for one another. And we should never stop looking for new ways to encourage each other to stay faithful to Jesus Christ. We should never think that our own example of faithfully following Christ doesn't matter. It always matters. Jesus wants to bring everyone into the bright light of eternal life. We're going to do that today with one more child who is going to be brought into the kingdom of God. Today, let's thank God for the gifts of grace that He has given us already. And let's promise, yeah, we're going to do that in that baptismal rite. Let's promise that we will continue to make good use of those gifts, both for our own sake and for the sake of all those who surround us. And so this day we give special thanks to those who are going to receive their first communion, and we give thanks for Janessa, who is going to be brought fully into Christ's one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church.